Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to women about their lives, their work and their influences, who inspire and encourage us to reflect on our own lives. This is Nikki Bannerman and my influential young woman today is Chloe Plumstead. Hello and welcome, Chloe.
Hi, Nikki. Thank you for having me.
Lovely to see you. It's great to chat to you. Now, Chloe is a writer and lifestyle and fashion blogger and marketer and social media influencer with an outstanding amount of followers. Now, we both live in Suffolk and I obviously know you personally, but we haven't really ever talked about how sought after you are by brands and beauty and fashion brands. So it's fun for us to get together and find out more about your life. So Chloe, what's it like being a blogger? Can you please describe it?
Well, there's a lot to say, I guess. There's so many different aspects to it. We were discussing this earlier, and for me, so I split my time 50-50 between being a blogger and also doing marketing on the side. I think I have previously done it full time. I actually did it full time earlier this year. But it's quite an isolating job doing by yourself, performing by yourself, because you are your own, you're every aspect of your own team. So you do the finance, you're doing the admin, you're doing the contracts, so all the legal stuff, then you're photographing the content, writing the copy, sending it off, editing. And it does get a little bit isolating. As much as you can work with other people, sometimes gets a bit lonely. But it's exciting and it's varied. There's always different campaigns and different things that you can do with your time. And I think now, because the industry is changing and becoming so popular, there are more avenues that you can take to kind of branch off. So me personally, I would love to go into writing for magazines and newspapers and things like that. And I would love to write a book one day. But other people are doing things like launching their own collections with like brands and things like that. So I actually have a jewellery line coming out later this year I'm working on a brand with, which is really exciting. And a petite dress. So there's a company called Reeve, and they make specifically petite wear for women, because there was such a huge gap in the market for that. And I'm petite myself, so I mean, I'm only 4'11". So we're working on something like that. People do podcasts, they can do anything. So it's really, really varied now because it's become so popular. But yeah, it's exciting, time consuming, but I do enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
Wow, that's amazing. And I didn't realize you were 4'11". You don't look 4'11", do you? But it's called the Little Plum, isn't it? Like your surname.
And that actually came from, so my last name is Plumstead, and in primary school, my brother just went by Plum, and he's 2 years older than me, and I automatically just then became Little Plum, the Little Plum, and it just caught on from there. And you know when you just really connect with a name, and it's so sentimental to me, but I started the blog, I guess like 6.5 years ago now, so at the time, blogging was not what it is now, and being an influencer isn't what it, I guess it actually, the term influencer didn't even exist then, so when you were coming up with your blog name, it was just kind of anything that you could think of, anything you identified with. Maybe if I was to create it now, I might change it, but that's what it is. And I connect with it, and it's something I'm fond of. So, but yeah, that's where the name comes from, just being small.
Wow, I certainly wouldn't disconnect with it now. The number of followers you've got is just astounding. So you are actually an influencer now. You get paid to sit in the pub and send a post and say, wow, wow, about a brand. It's just phenomenal. I mean, some of these influencers can get paid £15,000-£20,000 for sending one tweet, can't they? It's incredible. You're right up there.
I suppose the thing is I guess that's a perception of what we do. A lot of people think you could just kind of sit there and take your photos and send it off, but it is really time consuming. You are running a business. We're all running our businesses just as any other self-employed person is. And as much as I guess people see, you know, all you maybe see is the visual side of someone uploading their photos and stuff like that, years and years of hard work have gone into that. I've been doing it for 6 years now, and I was working for 3.5 years not making any money before I got to the point where I was starting to make pennies, literally pennies. And you have to invest in your equipment, you invest your time, so it takes a lot of work to get to the point where you are able to make a living out of it. Maybe nowadays, I think because the industry is so big, you can make that progression quicker. So you could start, and in a year's time, you might be able to sustain yourself if you really put in the time and the effort and invest. But yeah, a lot more goes on behind the scenes of, you know, to get to that point where you can make that money. But it is also nice being self-employed and being able to go to the pub if you want to.
Good for you. And you're 25 now, is that right? And literally, I mean, that's really young, isn't it? And that's such a good role model for other teens out there or people that are at uni. You can make money with your own business, being influential about something you're passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy, actually. You see so many young people, it's YouTube especially, filming videos and stuff, and they're so, so young. I think one of the most popular channels on YouTube is actually a child who opens toys and reviews toys. And he has millions and millions and millions of followers. So even though he still goes to school, he essentially has his own business. Of course, his parents run it. But isn't it crazy? That's just kind of the digital landscape that we're in now. That is, as long as you have something to say, and I think you need to have some kind of uniqueness about you, whether that's just, you know, you dress well and you maybe don't have anything written that you want to say, or you write or you do podcasts or you review things. If there's something slightly different about you, it doesn't matter what age you are, you can do it, and you can do it from home. You don't need to, you know, have a team behind you. I was living at my nan's house in like her shoebox bedroom. That's where I started to make money. I was living there. So I think the thing I would be most proud of in terms of influencing young people would be, if you come from like a working class home like I did, you can make your own business, you can do these things, and, you know, work for yourself. You don't have to go the route of, I mean, I went to university and then I went, had a job in marketing for a year, but after a year I was making more money for myself than I was for my actual job. So I think that's a good lesson I would like to impart on other people, that it doesn't really matter what your background is. If you're determined and you've got something you want to do, then you can do it.
Gosh, good for you. Your parents must be so proud.
I hope so. Yeah, fingers crossed.
Fantastic. And actually, I've just found out from you that you've had been asked to be an influencer by so many people and have been asked for interviews by so many people, and you don't have the time. So it's a real honour. It's like the world first, isn't it?
Do you know what it is? I think it is just time. It's, you know, when you're self-employed and you have to be aware of all these different aspects, giving up your time is precious, isn't it? It's so, so precious. So, yeah, I'm select with how I spend it. And I also like to have a good balance between my home life and my work life. I don't want to work all the time, you know, to get to this point. As you know, when you are self-employed, you want to be able to enjoy the benefits of it and be able to go to the pub or hang out in the garden and stuff. So I'm very particular. I don't work weekends and I don't work evenings. And I've always been very strict with that. And it just allows me to have a nice personal life as well.
Good for you. You are one influential woman on this podcast here. So you've got a massive following. I mean, 80,000 followers on Instagram. I mean, how did you get that many? How do we do that? Is it around the important issues, as we're talking about, that young adults relate to, that they admire you? I mean, how does that feel, having that many people that admire you?
Gosh, I don't know, really. I suppose I'm just used to it. And I have been doing it a long time. Maybe if they'd have come over, you know, a year, then it would have be a little bit more like, oh my gosh. But it's been a steady growth over, you know, so many years, so it's not so much of a shock. But it is nice, and it's a nice feeling, and it's a great community as well. I think Instagram sometimes gets a kind of negative press for affecting people's mental health negatively and things like that, but actually, if you can curate like a community of positive, supportive women, especially, that's my demographic. I think about 92% of my followers on Instagram are women. If you can foster that community and you have something interesting to say and worthwhile to say, then people react to that and they do respond to that and they do want to engage with you. And maybe more so now that we're, you know, back in the day, people obviously used to read magazines and stuff, and now print is really dwindling and people aren't even reading blogs anymore. That's kind of gone out of the window. It's all becoming much, much sharper, shorter Instagram videos of like a minute or less. And I think some people like to still have that relief of writing something and reading something and connecting with someone through their words. So if you offer yourself in an honest way and you are supportive, then people will respond to that. But I think people can see through you. If you're not genuine, I think it's quite easy to spot someone who is just trying to make a quick buck or who doesn't really want to engage and they just want to go on free holidays and things like that. It's just how you present yourself.
So they talk to you then. Have you met any of your fans, or you had something recently, didn't you, say, ask me any question? I mean, what did they ask you?
Oh my goodness, anything. It's so, so broad. I love doing those though, because they're so interesting. I get a lot of questions about relationships, because I talk about sex and relationships a lot in the things that I write. So I get a lot of questions about that. A lot of people saying, you know, if you were me, what would you do? Or do you have any advice for this? Or is there anything that's happened in your life which you can draw from and kind of give me some guidance, or even just to lend an ear? Most people just want to be listened to. And I think they kind of identify when you give them an option to say anonymously, can I ask you this? Can I do this? Then the people like to ask. But the funniest times I have when people will come up to me in person is when I'm at a festival, which is always when I'm worse for wear as well. And then people are like, oh my goodness, are you Chloe? And I want to be, it's like engaging as lovely as possible, but it's usually like 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. I've been there all day. So I'm like, oh yeah, that's me. And then Kieran's kind of, my boyfriend's lingering behind me, and I try and play it cool. But it's nice. It's always nice for someone to recognize you, you know. Amazing. For me, I just feel like I'm just any other person who just works at home. Do you know what I mean? So it's strange when then someone is like, oh my God, is this you? You're just like, oh gosh, yes it is.
That's so cool. So your blog, you've built your own personal brand about your life, really, your lifestyle, home, music and travel, and your boyfriend, Kieran. Does he mind featuring?
He actually doesn't. If there's anything sensitive, which is particularly personal about our relationship, then I'll run it past him first. I will ask him. 'Cause as much as it's my story to tell, it's also his story to tell. So I am very aware when anyone else is involved in what I'm writing about, then I will always ask for permission first, because you never want your own story to be shared when it's not from your viewpoint or without your permission. So, but yeah, he's fine with it. Unfortunately for him, that's where I get most of my material from. So he has to live with it.
That's why everyone asks you about relationships, isn't it? Oh, fabulous. Now, I've got a little description here on something that you've written to describe yourself.
Chloe is a 25-year-old writer currently living in Suffolk. She doesn't own any pets, although she has ambitions for that to change, and she's likely to overshare. I could say that I want to create a meaningful space within which the frivolity of fashion and the more serious aspects of our personal lives can coexist. In some sense, that is true, but really, at the very core of it, I just want to write things that other people like me find entertaining. If I can make you laugh whilst you're hiding from your boss in the toilets at work, then I'm happy. If I can share the best jeans for petite bodies and you find a pair you fall in love with, then I'm happy. Think of me as your internet wine friend. You'll find a little bit of everything here, from fashion lookbooks and introspective think pieces to commentaries on hair and interiors and the punctuated postcards of travel. I love music too, so make sure you check out my Spotify playlists.
Love it.
Thank you. I always love bringing it alive in terms of, especially on audio. That's lovely. And you are so incredibly photogenic. I mean, absolutely stunning. Obviously in photos and in real life with a very artistic eye. So you work with other bloggers to take photos for each other, do you? You've got a community of bloggers that you work with and help each other out, is that right?
Yeah. Luckily, actually, two of my closest friends are bloggers and they live 5 minutes away from my house. Complete chance, complete coincidence, but works really well for us. But otherwise, I used to do it when I was working full time. I used to just do it at the weekends and I'd get my boyfriend to help me. Or I'd get my brother to help me. I'd get my mum to help me. It was really like stealing time whenever I could. But now, because I do it, well, part time, I suppose, half of my time, I have the freedom of the whole week to take photos. So anytime any of the other girls are free, or maybe I have to go into London to meet someone there to take photos, you just make time for it. And I try and bulk shoot as well. So I'll try and shoot a couple of looks in one time, just to be a bit more clever with my time, really.
Gosh, amazing. So you have regular communication with your followers. I mean, is it daily or weekly, or how does it work?
So I'll do daily stories on Instagram stories. Every morning I'll put one up which just says good morning and what I'm going to be up to during the day. Depending on how busy I am, if I'm working on my own stuff, if I'm working on my kind of other client work, will depend on how interactive I am. I'm very conscious that some people do it really well and they're very engaged all day long. I just forget, for one, but also I'm doing other things and I don't always want to be on my phone, especially in the evening when it's kind of home time. So I try and be strict about doing at least like 5 or 6 stories a day. So that's just like saying what I'm up to and things like that, which are quite easy to do because you just take the photo and put the text over the top. I try and do 2 actual feed posts a day and 1 blog post a day, and then any kind of campaign things around that as well. So yeah, I try and be as consistent as I can. That's the key really to building an audience, is to be consistent. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. And on holiday, you keep this going, do you?
I do. It depends, really. If I'm on holiday, so we went to Italy just for a week, a few weeks back. As we were going out, I'd say, Kieran, do you mind just taking a photo for me here? Or do you mind just doing it here? But if I'm on holiday and I miss it, it's fine. I don't mind. I want to have a normal holiday as much as anyone else does. You know, I still want to relax and drink too much wine and do all of those fun things.
So they get to see that too.
Exactly.
So I was reading one of your 1,000-word features about What If, I think it was called, and hearing a totally different perspective, really, on 20-year-olds in today's digital and pressured world, because, you know, I'm a mum of teenagers, and you write beautifully in a very vivid and emotive way. And I found it interesting that whether we're in midlife, like I am, in our 40s and 50s, or like you in your 20s, that we ask ourselves similar questions. And you talked about how with adult independence comes your novella, as you put it beautifully, of 7 significant chapters. I mean, do you want to talk us through some of the chapters in terms of the ones that actually everyone is affected by, and how, you know, we all have to think of our path? You talked about your first job and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's so funny, because when I look at that now, So writing for me, when I write something, I'm very emotional at the time, not necessarily upset, but I just really, it takes me a long time to write things. So a post which is only maybe 1,000 words or 1,500 words can take me 3 hours or so, because I'm very invested in trying to communicate kind of the minutiae of how I feel, you know, the very small parts that maybe we miss day to day. And things like this, when I see this now, it reminds me of how I felt in that moment. But even now I can see like my first relationship, my choices in education, my first home. And it's quite scary in a way, I suppose, because I feel like all of those things have almost already happened to me, and then I'm thinking, okay, for the rest of my life, what is going to happen? Do you know what I mean? I think it's just you. I'm 25, and I think when you get to that point where it's like I'm actually going to get closer to 30, which sounds silly, I know, but you are aware that your youth is not going to continue forever. It's not going to exist forever, and then you start to think about the choices that you've made, and where would I be if I'd have stuck at university and not quit because I wanted to spend time with my boyfriend and I probably made the wrong decision? But where would I be in my life? And what if I pushed myself to write this book that I really want to write? What if I did it now rather than waiting for the perfect moment? Where would I be? And I don't think it's a case of saying, you know, I'm unhappy with where I am, but you do just wonder naturally sometimes, don't you, where your life could have been or what could have happened differently, which is like, it's good in a way for giving yourself a bit of a check, like, okay, so if I'm having these concerns or if I'm having these worries, could I do something differently now? So maybe I don't have to keep waiting and thinking, okay, what if I'd have done that? What if I'd have done that? But yeah, I think everybody has that moment, don't they, where they think, okay, it's just an introspective moment where you consider where you could have been and how your life could have been different. It's not necessarily a, you know, besmirching where your life is now, but it's just saying, okay, well, what other plane of existence could I be in if I'd have just done one small thing different? The butterfly effect, I suppose, yes. Isn't it? Yeah. Yes.
And like those movies, literally a few seconds, you know, life could completely change. I mean, I know in your 40s and 50s, you reflect back and think, gosh, if I'd have done this or... But probably I've forgotten that actually you look at it as signposts in your 20s and 30s of measuring, you know, gosh, I should be married with 5 children by this point and whatever. And actually, I think maybe young people put themselves under more pressure because they're more aware of what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? We can see what everyone else is up to. We get constant daily updates of what everyone else is up to. Well, I suppose that's why I also try and be realistic with the kind of things that I share online. Like every morning I will say good morning. I'll have my hair wrapped up in a towel. And I'll have my glasses on. I won't be wearing makeup. I'll be wearing like Kieran's pajama bonds. Because that's the reality of life, especially if you are self-employed and you work at home. You know, I don't get dolled up and glamorous to exist in my daily life. And
you put a photo like that online then, do you?
Yeah, every morning there'll be something like that. Or I'll post photos of like from a lower angle where you can see my double chin and things like that. Because that's life, that's reality. But I think people like that because they don't want to see everything airbrushed and edited and everything kind of prettied up. Like that's not the reality. If I have an argument with Kieran and, you know, the next day I'll say, oh, we went to the pub, we came home early because we had an argument. Because that's the reality. It's also being in your 20s, isn't it?
Brilliant. So 80,000 people are sharing your journey.
Yeah, exactly.
And it stops him because he knows he's going to be there tomorrow.
He gets his behaviour checked, yeah.
I like that. It's like payback time. Oh, dear. That's fantastic. So you talked about the ghost life that you could have had. And, you know, it's an interesting way of thinking, isn't it? Similar to our podcast, you know, we hope that by hearing other people's stories, it motivates and inspires us to think differently about their own lives and how they can get happy. So social media platforms, you do that as well. What is blog loving? Is that a platform that I don't know about yet?
Gosh, I haven't used that for a very long time. I don't know if other people still use it. It used to be a really handy way of kind of, you could follow all of the blogs that you liked and then you got a feed of the posts that had come regularly or the most recent posts. So it was a way of seeing them all at once and then you could just go to the separate platforms or the separate websites. But people don't, well, to my knowledge, don't really use it anymore because people don't really write blog posts anymore. It's not a popular thing to do. When the industry first started, everybody was writing and everybody was sharing and from their own kind of websites and their own domains and stuff. But now it's very much moved over to Instagram and YouTube and things like that. Video is the way forward. That's the way everyone's going to make money in the future, which is what I don't want to do. So
it's writing in that book then.
Exactly.
So you talked about demographics earlier and obviously the demographics and the following, we talked about engagement, if you want to touch on that. But How do you assess your analytics and your blog traffic and your demographics? You get data from Instagram or from your own blog feed, do you?
Yeah, so for my blog, I'll have Google Analytics, so then I can log into the back end of that and see the demographics, locations, see which posts are most popular, see how long people stay on there, how often they click off, so the bounce rate, everything like that, how many views you get in a month, how many individual users you get rather than repeat visits. And then Instagram, if you have a business account, you can also access the analytics there, so you'll be able to see the ages, the locations by country and city. You can see when your users are most active, kind of the time frames and the different days and stuff like that. You can see how many people have viewed your story, how many people have clicked the link, all of these kind of things. Yeah, because that's what companies want to know when they pay you to work for them. They want to see how many people have clicked through. They want to see if it's an affiliate link, for example, you'd be able to see how many sales were made on that. So they want to see the statistics, they want to see the analytics, of course, because they're paying you, and they want to know that it's working. They want to know that they're reaching enough people. So you do have access to all that kind of statistic-y stuff on the back end.
Well, so you literally are doing everything. No wonder you're so busy. So it's knowing about the data and the SEO, which obviously you've worked in marketing as well. So you do it, as you say, mainly on Instagram and Pinterest as well. I mean, they're just about to massively up their game, I saw on Twitter, aren't they, in terms of video and all sorts of new stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, Pinterest is really cool. There's a couple of people I follow who do it really, really well. And they have millions and millions of people who follow them on there. I think it's, if you do it full time, then you have the time to do it. But it's another thing you have to really do consistently, and you have to have a strategy for it. It's not the case of just like pinning randomly. You can have, you can actually have people who will consult on your Pinterest and your account to get you more followers and things. But it's really useful for websites or blogs that write recipes and things like that, because you type in like a cookie recipe on Pinterest, you get thousands of beautiful photos and links through to websites, and it's a really great way to actually drive traffic through to websites through Pinterest. But it is something you have to invest time in, and it's something I don't do enough because I don't have the time to do it. But if you do have the time, then it's a really useful tool and underrated. People don't use it as much as they should.
Brilliant. So have a strategy and stick to it, which is what you do with Instagram. That's what I was going to talk about with platforms. So do you host it on WordPress, or where do people start a blog or their story?
So my website is self-hosted on WordPress. I started on Blogger, which is a free site. So if you wanted to start out, you could just go through there. You can have the free domain, which is the one they give you, which would be like joblogs.blogspot.com, or you can buy your own domain and then have it as www.joblogs.com. There's also Squarespace, which is really popular now with bloggers because the functionality of the back end is really easy to use. And I think you can customize quite a lot of things with design, and it's not too expensive. But WordPress, I would say, if you are kind of established, is what most people would use is WordPress. Yeah, but then I had a designer who's designed my website for me, so I've had to pay for someone to do that. And I host it. God, that's a good question. I have no idea who hosts it, but I have a host. Someone. Annual hosting fee comes out of my bank account, so someone does it. Yeah,
yeah, they find you, don't they? I suddenly realise, oh, I've got a domain name that I hadn't cancelled. So at university, you did English literature and humanities, and did you fund your way through university? Because you started a magazine at university as well, didn't you? So you've always had a student-y and a writing passion.
Yeah. I actually worked, so when I was working in marketing whilst I was at uni, so I came back, I think it was my second year, came back for summer, got, I guess, an internship work experience. I was working there for free. They started to pay me towards the end of it, just kind of like, you know, minimum wage. And then I just did some stuff remotely whilst I was at university. So I was doing all sorts of things like graphic design. I was writing copy for website. I was doing social media campaigns. Also studying. I guess the beauty of studying is you do have, again, your flexible time, isn't it? So you do find time to do it. I wasn't doing loads because I was studying at the same time and obviously doing my essays and things like that. But I was doing that. And then I also had started towards the end, maybe in my final year, to make a little bit of money through my blog, through campaigns and stuff like that. So I managed to make, it wasn't, I mean, by no means it was a lot of money, but I made a little bit of money on the side, which was helpful just for living, you know, expenses and stuff like that, but also just good for experience, because it meant that when I left university, I didn't have to then go and work for free because I'd already done it. I'd already done it during my summers and I'd already been working whilst I was away. So I had some experience on my CV to help me get a job. I actually still got the same job who I was already working for. So I didn't need to apply. aside, but it was helpful and it's a useful thing to do whilst you're there. If you ever have the time to pick up little bits of work, you know, little pieces, even if it's just, I mean, I also did some like voluntary free stuff. I'd make free graphic design things for dog charities if they were trying to get dogs adopted and things like that. Just small things which look good on your CV and also can be kind of helpful. It's good to come out of university with just not just, you know, education, and then nothing else.
Fantastic. Good for you. And actually, I represented a client a few years ago, a fashion client, from a PR point of view. And half the people I met at this launch party literally were university fashion bloggers. And they were all invited to all the best parties and paying their way through, you know, they didn't have a loan. I mean, that's the way to go, isn't it?
Oh, God, I missed the party invites. I wouldn't have minded that.
I was astounded thinking, yeah, mental note to teenager, fund your own way, get a job. What else are you passionate about? And have you worked with some well-known people?
Brands, I suppose I have, yes. I actually was looking at my I keep a list of everyone that I've worked with, more for finance purposes, for my invoices and stuff. But maybe because I've been doing it for such a long time, it doesn't really strike me as a kind of an amazing thing to happen to me when a great brand comes along. But retrospectively, when I look back, I have worked with some really great people. I've worked with ASOS, I worked with And Other Stories, I've worked with Boots, I've worked with Tresemme, I've worked with, gosh, there's such a long list of things. Who else is on there? Just so many different, like, beauty, lifestyle, alcohol brands, gym brands, anything to do with like homeware stuff. I've done like Next before, lots of different brands. It's really varied, but it is impressive retrospectively when I think about how far I've come from, you know, starting being a student, or even before being a student, just doing it for free, doing it for fun, to think how much it's developed and who I have worked with in that time. But you know, I always want to get better. I always want to work with better people. That's always the way, isn't it? You always just want to go one step higher than you already are. But
you just pick your favorite brand and you just give them a shout out. So who would be your number one brand that you want to work with at the moment?
Oh, that's such a good question. I was thinking about that. Do you know what? I actually don't know, because I feel like I'm at a point in my career now where I want to not necessarily change directions, but I want to finesse what I'm doing. And I have kind of five areas that I feel I specialize in already in terms of the content that I write. And I really want to be more particular with only working with people within those spheres, within those kind of areas. So I think I have to actually think about who it is that I want to work with, what it is. I want to write a book. That's my big goal. That's the big thing. Brands, I think, they kind of, it depends on the campaign as well, because you could get a really amazing brand would approach you and say, do you want to work together? But if the campaign doesn't suit you, or if what they're asking for isn't something that you're prepared to do, then, you know, it's not such a great opportunity. For example, you could have, I don't know, Topshop could say, well, listen, we really want to work with you, but I want you to wear this bright pink top and these you know, blue jeans, which isn't me, and that's not who I am. And that's also not, you know, your viewers know you after so many years. They know your style, they know the kind of things that you like, the things you enjoy. So when an opportunity like that would come along, if you're to say yes to it, people know, they know that it's not genuine, and it compromises your integrity, which is really what you have to rely on when you work in an industry like this, where you are your own business, essentially. Your personhood is your business. If you don't have integrity, people don't trust you, then they're not going to engage with you. So you lose your standing to be able to get those jobs.
Definitely, you have to be real. They can see through it. The consumers are too intelligent now, aren't they? They can definitely see that. Gosh, good for you. So what's been the proudest moment of your career or life then? Was that hitting 80,000 followers?
Oh gosh, proudest moment. That's such a good question. Do you know what? I think actually it would be, like I said, this jewellery and dress thing I have coming out later this year, just because it's so nice to be able to be given trust by someone who is running their own company as well, to be given that trust and to be given the freedom to design something from the ground up that's never existed, and something which is perfect for you, the kind of thing that you really love, is really an amazing opportunity. I would say that. But you know what? Also on a personal level, just moving out and having my own home, because I always wanted to have my own home. Like, I lived in my grandma's house for ages, and then I bounced around university rooms and kind of, you know, the dodgy furniture and all of that kind of thing. And I just wanted my own space. I'm a very introspective and introverted person. I take energy. Yeah, I am, which is ironic because I work in social media. But I think part of that comes from being essentially on display for the whole day, I guess. So I wake up and I share things throughout the day, and people have a window into my life at all times. Mm. So when it gets to the end of the day or when it's my downtime, I like to be by myself, and I draw power from being alone, like being in the quiet, not even with Kieran. I just like to read my book and have a glass of wine and to sit outside in the garden. Really? Yeah, listen to the birds. That's really kind of like my happy place. So I think my proudest moments would be just, you know, having my own space and a space that is mine.
Definitely, because it's probably quite invasive sometimes, isn't it?
It is invasive. And I think not even necessarily of always sharing, but when you offer yourself for people to ask you questions and to ask you advice, you end up giving quite a lot of yourself away. Even things like I sometimes get emails from people saying, I'm in this situation, like, what do you think I should do? And you become emotionally invested in other people's problems, and it does become a little bit draining. Also, just, you know, on the business side of things, like haggling with people about money and all of those kind of things, and always being in photographs and being very aware of how I look all the time and how I'm presenting myself, and being very, very careful with what I say to make sure I'm not saying the wrong thing or anything that could be interpreted in a way that is not, you know, my intention. So I think I'm very self-aware. My job makes me very self-aware. So when I don't have to be, I don't want to be. I just want to kind of be almost reclusive, I suppose.
Definitely. You've done a lot for 25, haven't you? And you learned a lot. And what would your ideal book be about then?
I would love to write fiction. I would really love to write fiction. I'd love to write short stories, actually. That's what I've always been most drawn to. I like these kind of little windows into people's personal lives, or the things that really make them tick, or those kind of like quiet emotional things that we don't address in our day-to-day lives but exist within all of us. I would love to write short fiction around that. But it's just, I guess I'm a perfectionist in the sense that if I write it, I want it to be one of the greatest books ever, and I don't want to compromise on that. So I'm biding my time, I suppose, until I feel like I'm ready to do it.
That's why you're so successful. I'm sure there's lots of publishers out there that would be delighted to. And you've had agents contacting you, haven't you, this week? That's so exciting. Yeah. And are you going to say yes to any?
It depends, really. So I think because the industry is now so popular and influencers can make so much money, representation companies are kind of, they're latching onto that, whereas maybe they just would do artists or DJs or things like that. This is new media and they want to be involved with that because they get 20% of everything you make. But I'm also aware that is it can be very money centric. If you have a manager, they want you to make money so they can also make money, and that's not my motivation. I'm not motivated by money. I'm much more motivated by my time and my happiness, and those are my kind of, you know, my most important things. So it depends what they say. If they can identify with what I want from my career, which is to, you know, move into writing fiction or writing for magazines and things like that, and I don't really want to go down the route of video, and like you see a lot of styling videos now are very popular on Instagram, that people make a lot of money from that because you put commission links in, so you make some affiliate money off of people buying things. But that's not what I want to do. So if someone was to approach me and say, listen, this is where we think you could make the most money, I'm not interested. I don't want it. They can keep it.
Well, so it really is staying true to yourself, because otherwise you lead yourself into a place where you're not happy, don't you? Doing work that you don't want to be doing, and it's not you.
Yeah. And also, if your business is yourself and you're straying away from who you are and who you think you are, then how can you communicate any message? If you're not even being true to yourself, and that's why people follow you, because they identify with you, then how can you continue to do what you're doing? You're going to become the idea of what someone thinks you should be, usually to make money. And I'm too stubborn for that, I think.
Stubborn and clever, and that's wisdom, isn't it? Wisdom from youth, and in fact, you know, from a diversity point of view, us dinosaurs should team up with people that think like you more often, because it's refreshing. You know, we all feel the same. We just need to learn more from each other. It's brilliant. So, other passions. How do you occupy your time when you aren't working? Well, you sit in the garden. There you are by the sounds of it. And don't you do yoga? I'm sure I've spotted you going off to do yoga sometime.
Occasionally, but I love gardening. I'm really into gardening, so I'm growing vegetables at the moment. I just pulled up all of my potatoes, and I've got absolutely tons of them. In fact, you can have some if you like, because there's so many of them. What else have I got growing out there? Strawberries, tomatoes, got loads of flowers. My family really love roses, and my brother got me a rose tree for my birthday this year, so I'm forever like pruning that and looking after that and making sure that's okay. But I like to spend time with my family. I don't get to see them as much as I would like to, so every weekend I go and see my grandparents without fail, every Saturday, so I make sure I spend time with them. And I love to eat and I love to drink wine, so eating out and kind of going to the pub, anything like that, I really enjoy. But a lot of the time, I just sit in my garden and read. That's kind of like my happy place.
Perfect. I'm sorry I'm keeping you from that as well on this glorious day. We need to be out there. You need to be out there reading in a minute. So what else are you passionate about? Pyramids and the moon, I see from your blog. Can we see this new tattoo? Can you tell us about it? Now, isn't that beautiful? I'm not normally a fan, but that actually is beautiful. And control, does that say? Can you want to explain that then?
So it's a music reference. So my two favourite artists, a guy called Frank Ocean and a girl called SZA. And Control is SZA's first album. And then Pyramids is a song from Frank Ocean's first album. And then Nights is one from his third album, I should say. And Kieran actually has, it's not matching, but it's inspired by the same things because he also loves Frank Ocean. So it's something we share together. But it's a music reference. Yeah, I love music. That's probably my other passion. I'm very passionate about music. I love to listen all day long. I'll have something on and I love just putting playlists together and discovering new songs and like searching for things. And I love recommending music as well. There's a real buzz for me. If you send a song to someone and they love it, I'm like, yes, I got one.
I did listen to Frank Ocean last night, actually, because you had that as a link when I was reading up on you and spotted your tattoo there. And actually, yes, I liked it too. Have you told him?
No, I don't think he'd notice if I did. I would love if he did, but...
Put a picture on Instagram and say, look what I did for you.
Do you know what? So many people get them. Frank Ocean tattoos are really popular. They're really popular.
I need to think about that.
Yeah.
So your next goal, your book.
Yes, my book. I think so. Also, just to be more focused with my work, I think. I need to be more balanced with how I divide my time and organise my time. I'd like to just have more structure in my business, just from a business point of view. I got an accountant just now, which is like a big step for me because I've been putting it off for ages and ages, even though it's so helpful, so, so helpful. I think I've been worried to kind of take the leap into really solidifying it into a business. It's quite a scary thing to do by yourself because no one else in my family has their own business. I'm the first one to do it. So it's a bit, I'm really learning by myself and learning as I go along. So just my next goal is to put more structure into my business. So things like getting an accountant and registering the company and having more of a direction in terms of the content I share and maybe understanding where I could progress in my career in the future and what my 5-year, you know, life goals or career goals would be. That's what I would want to do next, is just have a bit more structure. But it off in the distance somewhere is the book.
Wow. No, but I think even speaking like that, you know, obviously as a fellow self-employed person as well, I mean, I think it clarifies it talking to other people that are self-employed in terms of, yes, that's exactly what I need to be doing. And what we were talking about earlier was me saying that so many of these incredible women I've interviewed, you know, whether they're famous or brilliant in their community or authors or screenwriters or whatever, you know, really incredible women like you, some of them said that they have a bread and butter job and then they have a passion job. And some of them then even have another way to make money. You know, it's almost like make money while you sleep, which might be something they do online or somewhere. And it just started me thinking, you know, that's almost like that's what everyone needs to do, because we don't have enough hours in the day and we need to get ourselves more organised like you're doing and more focused. Yeah. And time and happiness is what it really should come back to. And I think you'll have helped so many people out there. It's not about money. It's not about doing something that someone else wants you to do, but it's actually doing what you want to do and staying happy, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. And also just identifying what it is that makes you happy. So I know, for example, that I know some people love to travel and they love to do this. I love being at home and I really draw my own kind of power and energy from being at home. So I make time for that. I make time for myself to be alone because that's what makes me happy and what I enjoy. So I think as much as it's, you know, don't do things that you think that you should be doing because that looks like what a happy life should be like. If you know yourself and you know what makes you happy, and if that's, you know, going out every evening and seeing your friends, like some of my friends are super social and they really love being around people all day long, I'm shattered by the end of it. I can't do that. So I think it's just identifying what makes you happy and then giving yourself permission to enjoy it. Just give yourself the time to enjoy it, because you don't get this time back, do you? You don't get a second shot at it. So make the most of it whilst you can.
Gosh, you're so wise. And people will have really enjoyed this podcast. And it was lovely to talk to you on a different level, actually. And it's fascinating. And I've learned so much from what you've said. And all the things that I need to do and go and sort out my accounts and go and sort out all the things I need to do. So thank you so much, Chloe. Anything else you want to add?
No, thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it, actually. I don't do this often, but it's been really nice to just have like a sit down conversation. And I don't get to discuss my work too often because I work by myself. So it's really nice to just kind of have an intellectual conversation about it, I suppose. So thank you for having me.
Oh, pleasure. And actually, you'll have inspired so many other bloggers, and including myself, out there, of actually how they can change their own business slightly, or start something new, or make money, or fund themselves through uni, or however old they are, do something they're passionate about. So, no, I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nikki. Thank you.
The Influential Women podcast is presented and co-produced by Nikki Bannerman with award-winning co-producer Juliet Nichols. Please keep listening for more podcasts to binge listen to, and rate and review us, and keep subscribing for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Alexa, and join our tribe. And if you have any ideas, comments, or want to ask us anything, please contact www.nikkibannermanradio.co.uk or through Pineapple Audio Production.